Odyssey fans, I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine.
And I'm Bob, senior editor with Plugged In.
Welcome to the September 9th, 2009 edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Today we're giving away part two of Passages, Fletcher's Rebellion, and part two of our interview with Odyssey sound designer Rob Jorgensen.
Bob, can you smell the new episodes?
I smell window cleaner. I think someone's been in the studio.
The new Passages episodes are less than 2 weeks away, September 19th.
It's been a long wait, but I think these new shows are going to be worth it. And to tide our listeners over just a little longer, let's listen to that free episode now.
Here's part two of Passages, Fletcher's Rebellion.
Previously on Adventures in Odyssey, Passages.
Alice, you're going to have to forgive me, but you want me to believe that you and my son went to some other world or dimension together?
Uh-oh. What color are your eyes?
Brown.
No, they're not. What do you mean? This one's blue and that one's green. What?
Is it possible? Are you really a messenger from the unseen one? What are you doing?
Oh, Alice!
Perhaps you've been sent by the unseen one as a helper.
A helper? For what?
To drive out the Adrians.
Me? But I don't know anything about that.
Timmy? Timmy did this? My Timmy?
If that boy is responsible, then justice must be done.
You want me to hand a boy to this crowd?
He's not an Adrian. You must give him to us. And if you won't, then we will take him.
Wait! Stop! Sheriff Sabian, you've got the wrong person in that jail.
Oh, really? And how do you know that?
Because I am the one who destroyed the town hall. I beseech all true and loyal Marutians here today. Now is the end of Adrian tyranny in our land. Now is the end of our persecution. Now we shall rise up against them and drive them and their pagan gods from among us. The Unseen One has commanded it. We are not dead, but alive. So rise up, men and women of Maris. Rise up now and strike back.
The Marutians did rise up, and to their surprise, outnumbered the Adrians and drove them out of town. The sheriff was helpless to do anything but rush to the telegraph office, where he wired for help from Adria. Fletcher freed Timmy from the jail and then called a meeting of all the people. I joined them at an ancient and little-used field that once contained an altar to the Unseen One. Hundreds of people came.
It's about time you showed up. Did you enjoy your nap?
Yes, thank you. Did you?
Oh, sure. The mattress was amazingly uncomfortable, but the fleas were a nice distraction. So, are you yourself, or are you going to go into your whole Unseen One routine again?
It's not me, Timmy. I promise. But don't be afraid. He's on our side.
It gives me the creeps. You're Alice, not some special messenger.
But what if I am a messenger in this world? What if we were brought here somehow by the Unseen One to do what we're doing?
What you're doing? I'm just following along.
You're helping Fletcher fight for justice.
And I must be nuts, too. This whole thing is going to lead to nothing but trouble. I just know it.
No, you'll see.
Quiet, please! Fletcher has a few things to say.
I should think so.
Listen to me, people of Maris.
Oh, no, you don't. Not another big speech.
Is something wrong, Matana?
There sure is. Running a few Adrians out of town was a neat trick. But what are we going to do when the Adrian army gets here in a few hours?
That's what we're here to talk about.
Talk! That's all you men do. Meanwhile, they'll cut us down like weeds.
We will have help.
From where? Even if we sent to Sarum for help, the soonest anyone could get here would be in 2 or 3 days.
If they came at all.
I'm not asking for help from Sarum or from the men of any district. Our help comes from the Unseen One.
All right. It's all well and good invoking the name of the Unseen One, but why should we believe you? How do we know he's behind you?
You want proof?
Yes, give us proof.
Very well.
Alice?
Yes?
How shall we prove it to them?
Timmy, give me your Swiss Army knife.
Well, okay.
This is supposed to be the best, right? Strong, sturdy.
Well, yeah.
But it won't even cut this.
A piece of paper? Sure it will.
Try. So everyone can see. Slice it, stab it, cut it.
Easy as pie. Well.
He couldn't do it, Mr. Riley. No matter how he pushed or sliced or stabbed, the knife had no effect on the paper. Even Fletcher tried, but with no success. Then I told him to bring out larger knives and even a sword, but nothing would penetrate that piece of paper.
It's a trick. What's wrong? Can't do it? Oh, what kind of proof is this? What does it mean?
You are weak, like paper, but the Unseen One will make you strong. Against the odds, against probability, the Unseen One reverses your wisdom and stands the expected on its head. In your weakness, you will be stronger than the strongest weapon brought against you. But lose heart. Weaken your faith in the Unseen One, and you will be like scraps of paper that blow in the wind.
Unseen One has given us proof that he is with us. Are there any other questions or doubts? But we will not have those who are faint of heart. Anyone who doubts should leave now. Go home. There is no shame or pressure. Go home if you doubt.
Have you lost your mind, Fletcher? We can't afford to let anyone go.
This victory will not be ours because of our numbers. It will be ours because of the Unseen One.
Fletcher is nuts. Half the people are leaving.
They'll lose even more before it's all said and done.
There. Are you satisfied?
No. Something feels wrong about this. Alice?
Everyone is hot and thirsty. Bring in a barrel of water so they can have a drink.
Lamar, help me to bring water.
But why?
I want to see who'll drink from a shared cup, and those who scoop the water out of the barrel with their own hands.
So, a barrel of water was brought in, and Fletcher commanded the men to drink. We watched, and about a third of the men drank from a shared cup. The rest used their hands.
Well, we're all refreshed now, Fletcher. What was your point?
Only those who shared the cup may join in the fight. The rest of you are to go home.
The Unseen One will have his victory with as many or as few men as he likes. Those who are chosen will find victory. But surely those who are not chosen will die in battle.
No! Lamar! Lamar! The army of Adria. There must be thousands of men.
Where are they now?
They have encamped a few miles west of here, near the town of Exelor.
So be it. You chosen ones, meet me on the east side of Dravain in 1 hour. There we will discuss our plans for battle.
It'll be a slaughter.
Will it?
Look, Alice, you can play this messenger role as long as you want, but I think we need to get out of here.
Where can we go? We don't know how to get back to our own world, or even if we'll ever get back. We're stuck here no matter what happens.
Perfect.
That evening, after Fletcher met with his small army, he and Timmy and I stayed at his cabin.
The Adrian army will be upon us tomorrow, I'm sure.
Are you worried?
I'm uneasy.
I can't blame you.
Do you doubt the Unseen One?
No. But I'm only a man, with a man's heart. Even in faith, I can't help but feel some fear.
The Unseen One understands, which is why both of you should travel to the Adrians tonight. See for yourself what they're made of. And then, take heart.
In the middle of the night, Fletcher and Timmy rode to the Adrian army at Exelor and sneaked into their camp. Hiding in the shadows, they overheard a couple of the soldiers talking.
This is a long night. A very long one indeed. A night of troubling dreams.
You too?
Oh, and they do not bode well.
I dreamt that a large boulder had rolled down from Dravain, the stronghold of the Marushians, and crushed our entire army underneath.
Yes, I had a similar dream in which we were all vanquished. What do you think it means?
It means the god of the Marushians will be victorious over us.
Why then do we keep watch tonight, if only to die tomorrow?
An excellent question.
Then let's sneak away under the cover of night and avoid the terror to come.
I am with you, my friend.
Yes.
Let's go.
Let us go.
Fletcher and Timmy returned to the cabin, and Fletcher, at least, was elated by what he'd heard.
Praise to the Unseen One for what he let me see and hear. I want to rouse my commanders at once.
Now? Why?
Because I have a new plan of attack.
He called all his leaders together and told them what he had seen in the Adrian camp and what he now wanted them to do.
I want every source of light you can find. Every torch, lantern, every matchstick. And bring them to the field just outside of the Adrian camp at Exelor. I also want every sort of noisemaker you can find. Trumpets, bugles, horns, cowbells, whatever. I want the torches positioned all around the field. And when I say, they should be lit. Then, when I give a second command, I want our men to scream wildly and sound their noisemakers. And as one man, we will shout for the Unseen One.
Fletcher, are you sure of this plan? It sounds, well, insane.
No more insane than our 300 men going up against thousands. But the Unseen One is with us.
Now, my brothers, off to our battle!
Here you go, darling. Thank you.
Go on with your story.
It was still dark as the small army of Marushians gathered for their surprise and bizarre attack. Fletcher insisted that Timmy and I go to the top of Madeira Hill, where many of the Marushian women were hiding until the battle was over. From there, we could see everything that happened. It was an amazing spectacle. On Fletcher's command, the entire ridge and hillside to the east of the Adrian army suddenly lit up with torches and lanterns. And then there was a mighty commotion as the men blew their horns and party makers and rang bells. And then they attacked, screaming the entire way, for the Unseen One. I can only say that the combination of lights and sounds made Fletcher's army of 300 suddenly become an army of 10,000. The Adrians must have thought that the entire nation of Maris had fallen upon them, and since they were already afraid, the Adrians didn't even try to fight. They dropped their weapons and ran in the other direction. Fletcher and his men were so confident that they had the audacity to go after them, and Fletcher captured an Adrian general. The battle, if you could call it a battle, was over in a matter of minutes. Word of Fletcher's victory spread through the villages like wildfire. The capture of the Adrian general became a point of pride for many of the people, even those who doubted Fletcher from the very start. You can imagine the victory parade by the time the army returned. The Unseen One had kept his promise to them.
I guess you were a big hero, too.
Well, I suppose. But it wasn't anything I could take credit for. I knew that. Whatever I'd said was beyond my doing. But I couldn't explain that, not to Timmy or Fletcher or any of the people who gathered at Trevane for the victory celebration.
Men and women of Maris, tonight we hold a great celebration in honor of the man who led us to victory over the Adrians.
No! No, listen to me!
Crown Fletcher! Make him our king!
King Fletcher! We want King Fletcher!
No! Stop! Heed me! I am not worthy nor deserving to be crowned your king. Our victory today was from the Unseen One and him alone. He must be our ruler, no other. If there is anyone here to be thanked, it is Alice, the stranger who came from afar to speak to us for the Unseen One.
She
She is a prophetess!
Make her a judge! Let her always speak to us!
Stand up, Alice. They want to see you.
No, I didn't do anything.
This is your big chance. They want you to be a big shot for them. Stand up!
No, please.
Speak to us for the Unseen One.
Tell us the way forward. What does the Unseen One want us to do next?
Now's your chance, Alice. Give him a new message.
I can't.
What do you mean you can't?
It's gone.
What's gone?
Whatever it was that let me say what I said. I feel differently. It's gone.
But how can it just disappear?
I don't know. The same way it came, I guess.
Let me see your eyes.
What about them?
Oh, they're brown again.
The people were disappointed. One or two of them said I was a fake, but they were quickly silenced. The celebration went on without me while I went back to Fletcher's cabin.
You were sorry to see your power go away?
Not really. All I felt was a sense of loss, as if the closeness I felt to the Unseen One, to God, was now gone.
I see.
And then I realized it wasn't. If the Unseen One is God there, then he's the same God I know here. And I knew I could be close to him and serve him in our world too, only in different ways. You see, much later, I figured out that maybe we were allowed to experience Maris so we could understand faith in God better in this world.
Well, how do you figure?
Well, if we can believe in things that go beyond our imaginations, then maybe we can believe more firmly in the wonder of God's work in our world.
Oh.
Anyway, that's what comforted me, and has comforted me many times since. Timmy wasn't comforted, though.
How are we going to get home?
Don't worry. The Unseen One got us here. He'll get us back. You need to have faith.
I thought I did, until this trip. But now, I don't know what I've had. It's made me think a lot. About what I believe, about God, and all the things I grew up believing.
And?
I don't know. I want to learn more. For myself.
What was that?
It must be the fireworks. Do you want to go see?
Sure. I love fireworks.
Come on!
We stepped out onto the front porch of the cabin. It was dark now, but we carefully made our way into the woods to find the best view of the fireworks. They exploded in the sky over our heads. And then, smoke blew through the trees.
It must be from the fireworks. Or do you think it's another fire?
I'm not sure it was ever a fire.
The next thing we knew, Mr. Donaldson, one of the camp counselors, was shouting at us through the trees.
There you are. I've been looking all over for you two. We thought you were lost. Don't you realize what time it is? Get back to camp or you'll miss supper.
Yes, sir.
Coming.
On our way back to the camp, Timmy and I talked about everything that happened and decided then not to tell anyone about it. We figured everyone would think we were making it up or crazy, so we kept it to ourselves.
Well, if it happened, Timmy kept his word. He never mentioned it to me, and he never said anything about it in his journal.
If it happened, you said. So you don't believe me.
Well, Alice, I'll be honest. I'd like to believe you. I think stories like this are fascinating.
Uh-huh.
But what can I say? It sounds like a good story, and that's all.
I understand.
The only thing that doesn't make sense is why you're telling me now.
Well, I often thought about coming to you, but for the past 20 years I've been working as a missionary out of the country. And then I was recently diagnosed with cancer.
Oh.
There's nothing anyone can do. So I came back to get a few things settled, including telling you about Maris, in honor of Timmy.
I'm sorry, Alice. I really am.
Whether you believe it or not, at least I've told you.
Thank you. And if it's any consolation, you should know that Timmy became a Christian at that camp.
Great.
According to his journal, his faith became real to him for the first time there. And if what you said really happened, then maybe there is a connection.
Maybe there is. Well, I have to be going.
So soon. Wouldn't you like to come back to the farm and see Timmy's cabin?
No, thank you. I have to get back. But I'm grateful to you for meeting me, Mr. Riley.
Oh, the pleasure is mine, Alice. Hmm. Well, sometime come back and see me, if you get the chance.
I will. I will.
Well, if anything can help me understand it all, then Timmy's journal will. Let me see. What were the dates on those journal entries from camp? Oh, here they are. There it is. Met a girl named Alice. After she got stung by a bee, she screamed like she'd been shot. I took her to the nurse's cabin. She was okay. So that's that. Ah, here's another. We went into the woods to explore today. I guess the we is Alice. Wait, in our Bible study today, we read about the story of Gideon. It reminded me of something. I told Alice and she agreed. Maris. It's here. He really mentioned it. But Gideon? That's right. Gideon. But that doesn't mean it really happened. They might have made it up. Maybe. Or maybe not. I wonder.
God can do incredible things with people who trust Him, even the most unlikely people. He can use an average kid as His messenger and turn a farmer or a mountain man into a national hero. And He can give all of us the strength to stand firm for His truth against overwhelming odds. Just like Timmy and Alice and Fletcher and Gideon, you can read his story in the Bible. It's found in chapters 6, 7, and 8 of the book of Judges. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. Passages was written by Paul McCusker and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Rob Jorgensen. Our executive producer was Al Jansen. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.
That was exciting.
It sure was. And if you enjoyed those two adventures in the land of Maris, you'll love the 9-part series, Darien's Rise, that begins September 19th. Check out our website for previews, interviews, and more.
And be sure to keep listening right now to hear more about Fletcher's Rebellion. Let's get back to our interview with Rob Jorgensen.
Rob was the sound designer of today's show, and he had more to tell us about Passages and his other work for Adventures in Odyssey. Here we go. You know, Rob, a lot of times sound designers will say that they incorporate some little in-jokes that would completely go beyond the listener when they're just enjoying an episode. Anything like that in Passages?
Yeah, there's one scene where some trumpets blow, just and it's a really powerful sound. And underneath that, just as a joke, I put some cartoon comedy trumpets that you would hear on a funny cartoon, and I stuck them under the mix far enough that you can't really hear them, but I know they're there, so it's kind of fun.
Yeah, and now our fans will be listening for that too, for sure.
Right, exactly.
Now, are there any other in jokes? I heard that you started one at the hospital in a different episode. What was that?
Yeah, I always wanted to be a doctor when I was a kid, and I wasn't able to accomplish that. But I figured in the world of Odyssey, I was going to be one. So every time that I did a show with a hospital scene or a doctor scene, I did an overhead page in the hospital hallway, paging Dr. Jorgensen. And most of the time, I paged myself to the psychiatric ward. But you know, sometimes it was different things.
And there's the law firm of Crow, Jorg, and Beboff in Chain Reaction.
Yes.
How did your last name end up in a law firm?
We were in a meeting with the writers, and Jonathan Crow and I were kind of just pushing to get ourselves into the show a little bit. So so that's a play on mine and Jonathan Crow and John Fornoff's name.
You know, another in-joke that fans might enjoy knowing about is the mention of Ken's Burger Den in the episode The Unraveling. So what's your connection to that, and how did Ken's Burger Den even make it into a script?
Yeah, well, I was working with Kathy Waringa on that script, and I was just, I'm from Idaho. I grew up in the Boise, Idaho area, and I was feeling pretty homesick. And I thought that it would be just be fun to give a little bit of a tribute to my hometown. And so my very first job when I was 15 was flipping burgers at Ken's Burger Den.
Nice.
And so we were actually, there was a fast food restaurant in the script, and I asked Kathy if she'd change it to Ken's Burger Den so that I could at least have a connection to home in that script.
And so how are those burgers at Ken's?
You know, it no longer exists. I've driven past when I'm visiting home, and it's some Mediterranean restaurant now. So.
You obviously love audio just from talking with you. It's just, you know, evident. Now, we understand you also have a unique collection of things related to audio. What is that?
I do. It's interesting. I do love audio, but I'm very visually oriented at the same time, and I love graphic design and different things. And so since I started in radio when I was 16, that's kind of what I grew up with. And so I love the history of radio. I love the 30s and the 40s and the design from those years. And so I started collecting old microphones from that period. You know, the big chrome, very cool microphones that you see on in old photographs and old movies. So I started collecting those over the years. And in fact, there's a fun story from Passages. In all the crowd scenes I did, I actually used several different people. So I didn't just use that college group. I also used some other tourist groups. And one guy came back to my office and saw my collection, and we talked about it a little bit. And about 3 weeks later, there was a box with my name on it up in the mailroom. And I went up and got it, and that guy had gone back home and dug through his attic and found an old microphone that he knew was up there, stuck it in a box, and mailed it to me.
Oh,
very
that's cool. That's
that
really nice. Cool. Yeah.
You know, Corey Burton has been in a number of episodes. Of course, Crying Brian Dern, Walter Shakespeare, and in Passages, he played Fletcher. Is it true that you would just call him up once in a while and just to chat about microphones together?
Yeah,
we definitely share a passion there. Corey is a renowned voiceover guy in Los Angeles, and he is everywhere. Once you get to know his voice, you hear him on TV, you know, everywhere. So he is renowned to be one of the guys who carries his own microphone with him to sessions.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
He'll show up, and it's in a little case, and he'll insist that he use his own mic because he likes how his voice sounds on that mic. So he and I just kind of clicked on the microphone front. So yeah, we used to call each other and just chat microphones for a while.
Talk about your favorite Odyssey show that you produced and why it's your favorite.
I loved being a part of the Plan B series in the Novacom series.
Oh, cool, yeah.
I think that there was a special magic about those four episodes of Plan B, and the actors clicked, the script clicked, and Jonathan Crowe and I worked on those together. We worked with John Campbell on the music for some special effects, and it just was kind of a culmination of everybody doing their best work, and so those four episodes of Plan B really are, from a production standpoint, really are bar none my favorite.
Well, Rob, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to talk with us today. I think it's given our fans another way of looking at Passages that may help them enjoy it even more.
You can hear Fletcher's Rebellion in Album 34, In Your Wildest Dreams, or download it at our website.
That's it for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Visit us online at witsend.org/podcast.
Or call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse. And remember, with God in your life, every day is an adventure.